But in this segment, we're going to talk about buses, because we had a story a couple of days ago in the ODEC, Gordo talking about a guy who stole a bus. It was a red flag story, a lot of red flags, really wheels off story. And we started laughing about how hard it is to drive a bus and how slow they are to accelerate. And in the past, we've talked about our experience on school buses. And of course, Corby recently took a bus to the Super Bowl. So we thought we'd spend a segment here talking about the bus. Before Gordo and I revisit our school bus history and our very colorful drivers, did you take a bus to school, Mike, when you were growing up on the barren, windswept plains of Iowa?
Wasn't that difficult of an upbringing, first of all, Craig. And I grew up, as I've mentioned a million times, in a very small town, and we were in town. I grew up two blocks from the school, so, you know, we walked to school.
Okay.
I suppose my dad dropped me off once in a while on his way to work or whatever. The farm kids took the buses.
Okay.
I did take the bus to sporting events, probably starting in junior high and through high school.
Old yellow dog.
Yeah, absolutely. And probably the most vivid memories I have regarding bus rides in school, high school especially, would be coming back from basketball games. You know, you'd go to a basketball game, you'd play in the games, and a snowstorm would begin during the game.
Mm-hmm.
And you're taking a, whatever, 50, 60-mile bus ride in a driving blizzard. My uncle happened to be the bus driver.
Oh, really?
And he was known for saying things as we're loading up the bus, saying things like, well, not really sure we should be trying this, but here we go. And, you know, inspiring a lot of confidence among the riders. So we'd white knuckle that bad boy all the way back. So those are some of my memories of bus rides back in the school days. But it was not a daily occurrence for me ever.
The only time I ever rode the bus every day to and from school was in second and third grade when we lived in Enid, Oklahoma, a little town in the northwest part of the state. And our bus driver was named Carl. And Carl, this is 1972, 73. Carl had very, very long blonde hair. This was during the peak of the hippie years. And he was a hippie. And he wore the little John Lennon round sunglasses.
Nice.
And he had a band called Listen. And they put out an album. They were like a folk/religious, I think, band. From Enid, Oklahoma.
Oh, wow.
And they put out an album, and I've been looking for the picture. It's on my other laptop. I'll post it later today. But 10 years ago, when we were telling stories of our school bus drivers, somebody found the album cover to Listen and sent it to me. And it's Carl and his band, and they've all got acoustics, and they're sitting on a stool in our school playing to all of us. And I just missed being on the album cover.
Wow.
Now, not that great of an album. I don't think it sold more than 10 copies back in the day. They were giving them away at church. But that was Carl. And so he was the most mellow bus driver that you could ever have. He would just say hi and bye and was just up there, was probably high.
I'm going to say, did Carl smell of the evil weed?
He almost definitely smoked. And my bus ride experience was great, in that I was the last one picked up because we lived pretty close to the school, and I was either the last one or one of the last kids to be picked up every morning. So I got to sleep a little later than the other kids because, say, I was picked up at 7:55 for 8 o'clock school, whatever it was. But they did the same route to go home, so I was also the last kid to get home every day.
Mm.
Which sucked because all the other kids were out playing for 30, 45 minutes, and I'm still on the bus.
Didn't somebody find Carl's album and send it to you?
Yeah, I just said that.
Well, I knew he made the album. I thought that you talked about that. I didn't realize that you had talked about it.
Yeah, I just mentioned that a P1 heard me talking about it and sent me the picture.
Do we have the songs?
We don't have the songs, I don't think. We just have the album cover and the insert that used to come with the album, and I think it had some lyrics on there.
A lot of good album art there.
Carl was mine. I think Reynolds was George's bus driver, right? That wasn't your bus driver.
No, mine was Calvin.
Calvin.
His was Reynolds.
That's right.
Yes.
Reynolds was a really old guy. But Calvin was quite flamboyant.
Yeah, Calvin was a young black guy in like his 20s. I would say he was mid-20s. And he was really flamboyant. And he would wear like feather boas and these big Elton John bejeweled glasses and stuff like that. And Calvin battled a guy named Miles, a kid named Miles on our bus. And Miles was like the school disciplinary problem. I mean, he was bad news.
I can't imagine that you weren't the constant battler with
no,
the bus driver. You
no.
weren't the nightmare for him?
No, I was actually good on the bus. I don't ever remember getting in trouble. But Calvin and Miles would argue all the time, and Miles would always be raising hell in the back of the bus with us. And Calvin, I remember one time, dropped Miles off in the middle of nowhere. Told him, he said, if you keep doing what you're doing, I'm going to kick you out. And Miles kept doing what he was doing, and Calvin put him out it was the middle of nowhere, and kicked him off the bus. And the last thing I remember was looking out of the back window of the bus and seeing Miles retreating into the distance with double birds up. We were in like fifth grade. And Miles had double birds up at Calvin's bus as it was taking off and leaving.
So if that happens today, Calvin is fired.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Miles is a hero.
And that's where
Calvin is sued.
Calvin would use salty language with the kids too. Like he held that something about the bus driver position was, you know, barely in the faculty area, so it's like you could get away with more language and more,
right,
you know, threats to children and stuff. So Calvin was one of our bus drivers. The other bus driver we had was Mr. Franklin, Coach Franklin, who was our one coach at my elementary school. We only had one coach. And Mr. Franklin was huge. He looked like kind of like the junkyard dog, but like 7 foot tall.
Wow.
He was huge. Nice guy, but he put up with no nonsense on the bus. And he drove the stick shift bus with that big long throw that we were talking about the other day with
yes.
George.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the first gear was way up by the dash, and second gear was basically flat back on the ground. And he drove that bus hard, too. He was not messing around when he was driving. So there was a lot of taking speed bumps at 30 miles an hour and all the kids' heads hitting the roof and that.
Boy, I loved the mechanics of the bus. I used to try to sit up front to watch Carl drive, because I loved how gigantic the steering wheel was.
Yeah, why did the wheels have to be so big in those?
I don't know. And I loved the mechanism to open and close the door. It was that lever.
I was obsessed with that thing, yes.
Loved it.
Seems so high tech.
Yeah. And did you guys ever travel on a commercial bus like Corby just did? Did you ever take a Greyhound or a Trailways when you were young?
I don't think I ever did.
Man, I'm probably forgetting something obvious in my life, as I often do, but I'm not sure that I did either. I've had family members take the Bon Lane
yes.
back and forth between other Texas cities.
George says those are great.
Very positive experience.
Yeah, we used to put my dad on the Bon Lane to Austin, and he loved it. That's kind of luxury bus travel.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, growing up in Oklahoma, we had cousins in Dallas, and so we would always come down to see the cousins. They'd come up to see us every summer. And a couple times we took the Amtrak, which was fun, but a lot of times we would take the Greyhound or the Trailways. I can't really remember which, probably both. And it would always stop in Ardmore, and you could get off the bus, and you were kids. It was me and my sister. Sometimes our cousins were with us, but no parents, unsupervised, and it just felt like you were an adult when you went to that Ardmore bus stop, and you had free rein to get off the bus and go to the Coke machine and get a soda yeah. pop and just kind of hang out. And it was always, I always played it to where I was the last to get back on the bus, playing with danger.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe I'd get left in Ardmore. But we loved riding the bus. I don't think it was quite as seedy as it is today. Back then, it was still a little more mainstream.
My grandmother refused to fly, my mother's mother, my maternal grandmother. And so when she would come out to visit us here in Texas, she would always take Trailways was her bus of choice.
Mm-hmm.
And because she was afraid of flying, like it was too newfangled for her, these flying machines. So
yeah,
she would take
them.
The bus out here.
Like John Madden.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Boy, those things are nice, too. We got on Willie Nelson's bus. Craig, you don't remember this because you weren't with us.
So sorry.
But we got on Willie Nelson's bus. It was incredibly nice. Was it Wade Bowen who showed up one time at the compound?
Yep.
And he was on a tour bus. And that thing was so nice inside.
Yes.
When did you get on Willie Nelson's bus?
He was playing House of Blues. And we invited Craig. He wasn't interested.
No. So do you know the story?
I probably heard it, but I forgot.
This is many years ago. Biggest show coming to town. I mentioned Willie Nelson was in town at the House of Blues. And I said, why don't the three of us go? It was my idea for me, George, and Gordon to go. I said, why don't the three of us go tonight? That'd be great. They say, nah, I'm too busy. So the next morning, we come into work, and I find out they went.
And they're raving about the show.
They got an invite from Willie's tour manager who heard us talking about it.
Oh, no.
And they got an invite, and they didn't call me, the guy whose idea it was to go to the show, and they got invited aboard Willie's bus. And
we just assumed you weren't interested.
It was my idea to want to go as a threesome.
I know, but you didn't propose it all that enthusiastically, so we didn't think that you were truly interested.
It's the second greatest wronging in my life.
Did you spend time with Willie?
Yeah. Yeah, wow. We got our picture made with him and everything.
Man.
And he was sitting at the little table up front of the bus, and there was just the whole bowl of stems and seeds and all that stuff. I mean, it's just right there in the open, and you would go on Willie's bus, and it was set up through the Raising Cane's people, I think, were sponsoring that concert or something. And, but yeah, we got on the bus, and they took a picture of you with your arm around Willie, and then they mailed you the framed picture of you with Willie Nelson. Mm. It was so cool.
It's you know, great. Now that I think about it, you've been involved in most of the wrongings in my life.
Yes,
like when you invited Jesse Jackson onto the Adrian Peterson interview and hijacked that.
I remember that.
I just felt like Jesse Jackson wasn't being platformed enough, so I had to offer him the forum.
Mike, I don't know if you heard me mention this when he passed, but I was on the Madden Cruiser. I got to go aboard the Madden Cruiser.
When he passed?
When we
like
were
you
talking
found about, his body in the back?
We were talking about John Madden passing, and I told the story that in the early 90s at a Cowboys-Washington game at old RFK, I was with Chris Arnold, our friend, and he knew Willie, who was the bus driver for John Madden, and we got to go aboard, and Willie gave us a tour of the Madden Cruiser.
I only worked at the same network as Madden for like 20 years, and I never got that invitation. That's cool. Very nice.
You got to know Chris.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And didn't you used to have a bus driver, Craig, named Carl or something like that?
Yes. It was, I just mentioned that.
And
thank
he, like,
you.
Gordon. He played an instrument.
By the way, when I was a kid, I was so obsessed with buses. All transportation, really. I loved trains, Amtrak, I loved airlines, and I loved Greyhound and Trailways. And I was a Partridge Family P1. And you remember Danny Bonaducci's character?
Yeah.
And he was interested in investing, and he bought one share of AT&T. And I always thought that was cool that this 10-year-old kid owned one share of AT&T. And he always talked about it on the Partridge Family. So when I was about 10, I wanted to buy one share of something, and I remember looking at the stocks in the paper, and the cheapest stock was Trailways, and it was $3 a share. And I thought, wow, that'd be great if I owned a share of a bus line, because I love transportation. I love buses and airlines. So I called about 10 different banks in Oklahoma City. I didn't know how to buy stock.
Yeah, do y'all have shares of Trailways laying around there?
And
I could buy one.
And half of them said, well, you can't buy stock through us. And the other half, I think, said you could, but that they wouldn't sell me one share. They wouldn't waste their time with a $3 purchase.
How old are you?
I was 10.
Any other 10-year-old ever say, I love transportation? Those words ever?
Yes. A lot of kids.
Great.
Kids are obsessed with airlines and things like that.
I was obsessed with airports and airlines and buses.
You would be saying it that way at age 10. You know?
Yeah.
Mom, I love transportation.
All right, so that's bus talk.